And our final case of the day is United States against Lara Unzueta. Mr. Henderson.
May it again please the court.
Glad you worked both of these in within 10 days.
Again, my name is Peter Henderson. I'm representing Miguel Lara Unzueta. There are two issues here. The second issue is really presented to preserve it for review by the Supreme Court. I think Ms. Peterson did an excellent job in her brief of showing the circuit precedent against my client. The first
actually, there's even more recent precedent on this point. I'm surprised that we didn't get a Rule 28 letter.
Right.
Zambrano Reyes.
And I did see that case, and the question that I think it left open was about the need for actual reliance. I reviewed that case last night. I don't think it necessarily resolved it, but maybe I'm reading it wrong. But that's the interesting aspect of Judge Rovner's concurrence in De Orta-Garcia raised a couple concerns about, you know, is this court kind of on the right track in terms of the two issues. One of those, I think, was addressed by the Supreme Court in Vartalis. The government disagrees with my reading of Vartalis, but I do think, and I suppose that would be under the prejudice prong of the 1326D factors, I don't think that actual reliance needs to be shown these days. But in any case, there are so many other provisions there that this is really presented to preserve it for the Supreme Court. The first issue is really the main issue I'll talk about today, and that's it's really an issue of statutory interpretation. Under Section 455B3, where a judge has served in governmental employment and participated in counsel concerning the proceeding, there's mandatory recusal. That's non-waivable by the parties. And so the question is, under this statute...
Well, the problem is that the proceeding is the same proceeding. And
well,
the proceeding in 1996 and 1997 is not the same as this criminal proceeding. On your view, if the district judge who heard the first of the prosecutions for illegal reentry could not hear the second because he would have participated in the proceeding. Is that right?
Well, he wouldn't have... you mean he prosecuted the first... Or he just presided over the first
presided. Judge
well,
participated in the proceeding.
Well, no, but he wouldn't have participated as counsel in the proceeding. I think you're right that the proceeding refers to the particular case. So this case...
Yeah. So the proceeding in that statute is the removal proceeding from the 1990s. And that's different from the proceeding that's now pending, which is a criminal prosecution.
Right. And the way that I read the statute is the word concerning. So it's not necessarily that you participated as counsel in the proceeding. It's that you participated as counsel concerning the proceeding.
There's no evidence here, though, is there, of Judge Duryigian's actual participation in the 1998 deportation?
Well, the evidence is that on the appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals, his name appears on the pleadings as district counsel.
Well, it would have appeared on every single case.
Right. That may be true. And the way that the courts looked at similar cases, for example, Ruzano. Ruzano involved an assistant United States attorney, and the court said, well, the name wasn't on the pleadings, so there's no participation. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the inverse is true. If the name is on the pleadings, there is participation.
But I won't pursue this, but that case involved just a single proceeding where an assistant U.S. attorney might or might not have participated at an earlier stage of it. This case involves at least three distinct proceedings, the removal proceeding, the first criminal prosecution, and the second criminal prosecution. And there's no claim that Judge Duryigian in the 1990s participated in this criminal prosecution. He couldn't possibly have done it.
Well, and that's the curious thing about Ruzano, because the court has said the United States attorney for a particular district, even if their name is just appearing on the pleadings, they, under Section 455B3, are disqualified from presiding over
in that case. Proceeding, in that case, but not in a later case, if a U.S. attorney prosecutes Smith in 1999, mm-hmm. and then Smith commits another crime and is prosecuted again in 2009, and the 1999 conviction is urged in aggravation as a recidivist enhancement, mm-hmm. that person can serve as a judge because he has not participated in the proceeding, that is, the 2009 criminal prosecution, even though what happened a decade ago produces a recidivist prosecution. And I don't understand why this is any different.
Right. Well, and I think that if there's a dispositive motion that would otherwise dispose of the case that involves an attack on that prior proceeding, I think that that is concerning the proceeding, the current proceeding.
Let's just read the statute. The statute says where he has served in governmental employment and in such capacity participated as counsel, advisor, or material witness concerning the proceeding.
Right. I think you're...
So has Judge Duryagian done any of those things concerning the proceeding, that is, the proceeding now before us? Has he participated as counsel in the proceeding? No. Has he participated as advisor in the proceeding? No. Has he participated as a material witness concerning the proceeding? No.
Right. And maybe that distinction is too narrow to say that concerning means something different than in. But I think that that's, you know, if you participate as counsel concerning the proceeding, that's different than saying you've actually been counsel in the proceeding. It means you served as counsel in a matter that concerns the proceeding. So I think you're right that the proceeding is this criminal case that we're on appeal on now. But I think the operative language is concerning the proceeding. And certainly participation as district counsel for the INS in the deportation order that was challenged in a dispositive motion is participation concerning the proceeding. Now, this, you know, there's not a lot of case law to specify what concerning means, unfortunately. I think that this is fairly akin to Russell v. Lane. Now, that it's a different statute, it's different facts. I mean, it's very distinguishable. But in essence, what you had here was the district judge reviewing an order and assessing the validity of an order, which he, as district counsel, had urged for the INS. And I think that that fits under the statute of 455b3. That's improper. That's a non-waivable conflict that mandates recusal.
You mean if some precedent were established and related, but it's still a precedent?
Well, what happened in Russell v. Lane was Judge Mills in our district was a former state court judge who affirmed a conviction. And then he was asked on a 2255 basically to assess the conviction. Well, of course, you can't do that. The problem is it didn't really fit in the language because he didn't participate as counsel, advisor, material. He was a judge. He wasn't any of those. So it doesn't really fit the statute that we're looking at. But I think the idea is similar, that a district judge, an Article III judge presiding over a criminal case, should not be able to review his own work in a dispositive motion to dismiss. So for those reasons, we would ask for vacation of the conviction and sentence and a remand.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Ms. Peterson.
May it please the Court, Michelle Peterson for the United States, and we appear to ask to request the Court affirm the defendant's conviction for illegal reentry. The District Court did not commit an error when it did not sua sponte recuse itself under 455b3. 455b3 requires a level of actual participation, and there's simply no indication in the record that Judge Duryagian had any actual participation in any of the defendants.
What difference would it make? My question is, suppose Judge Duryagian had been the lawyer who handled the removal proceeding personally from day one till the day it was closed. What difference would that make?
Your Honor, I think that the statute can be read to mean that the proceeding means the case at hand, which you're correct.
Judge Duryagian had nothing to do in the 1990s with the case at hand. and if he had handled the removal proceeding every step of the way personally, he still would have had nothing to do with the proceeding at hand. And that's my example of the U.S. attorney who prosecutes a defendant, gets a conviction, and then a decade later, in a completely different prosecution, that conviction is used for a recidivist enhancement. Is the U.S. attorney, now a district judge, disqualified? I'm very confident that the answer is no.
That's correct, Your Honor. The answer is no.
That's a curious thing. If that, like we get in other cases, challenged it because now it's an enhancement because of a criminal offender. I'm just wondering whether that would be the case. That's kind of hypothetical, I know. But if someone challenges the third case back on the same individual because of some hindsight infirmity, trying to, so he's not a career offender. That's a hypothetical, I know. But
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because I don't believe that that attorney would have, or the judge would have
Would he in effect be reviewing that old case?
Likely not. I mean, 455B.
You don't have to be right or wrong on this. I'm just curious.
Well, 455B has a second clause regarding when a judge or anyone expresses an opinion concerning the merits of a particular case. Mm-hmm. But again, under the holding of Russell, particular case would be confined to the current case, not the cases, three cases back. So I believe under 455B3, the judge also wouldn't be barred from examining the merits.
I want to ask you something about the showing of prejudice he has to make. Does he really have to show that he would have obtained discretionary relief under 212C? As we said in the prior appeal, or do you concede that a reasonable likelihood is the correct standard?
Under this circuit's case law, the standard of review is that he must show it would have yielded him relief, Arita Campos, which the defendant simply cannot do. He has a conviction for attempted murder where the indictment alleges he beat someone with a baseball bat and a 2x4. It's highly, highly, highly unlikely he would have been granted any discretionary relief under 212C to stay in this country, given his history. The court committed no error in denying the motion to dismiss. The defendant has the burden on all three prongs, which he failed to meet, and which counsel concedes that he failed to meet, given the circuit's current case law.
Yeah, well, Mr. Henderson has conceded he's only making this argument to preserve it for further review.
That's correct.
It's preserved.
That's correct. Seeing no further questions, I would respectfully request the court to affirm the conviction. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Henderson?
Just briefly. I think that we can construe the language of the particular proceeding a little too narrowly. So imagine if there's a conviction, goes through appeal, it's final. A new case is opened on a 2255 motion. Well, that's a new civil case.
No, it's not, technically. Under 2255, it's a motion in the original case. That's what 2255 says.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I suppose that argument doesn't make a lot of sense.
Sometimes people treat it as if it were a separate case, but what 2255 says is that it's a motion in the original case.
Right, and I know the way that the district court files them, they're certainly their own cases.
Yeah.
But in terms of, there's one thing that the government said, which was there's very little chance of relief. There is a case in the circuit where an alien with an attempted murder conviction obtained 212C relief in the past, so it's not impossible. Whether that meets the standard is another question, but it's not totally foreclosed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. Thanks to both counsel, especially those who are relying on the wisdom of Congress to reinstate their salaries retroactively. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.